Hello, welcome to episode 6 of the Neptune Files. This is Karen.
Hi, this is Katie.
And we are two sisters who never ran for class president.
That's true.
And never would. Not for us.
Actually, in elementary school, I ran for vice president.
Ooh, did you get it?
No.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I'm over it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I have a couple of fun Veronica Mars facts to share today.
Oh, really?
I realized that they're actually both dog facts.
Okay.
So that shows you where my priorities are, which is dogs.
Are they about backup?
One of them is about backup, yes.
All right. Wait, but what is the other one about if it's a Veronica Mars fact and a dog fact, but not about backup?
Okay.
Or is it not actually about Veronica Mars at all? Okay.
It is about Paris Hilton's dog, Tinkerbell.
Oh.
So, of course, who could forget that Paris Hilton was in episode 2?
Right.
And I came across some kind of list of shocking secrets of Veronica Mars revealed.
Really?
Article online. Yeah, it was on E! Online. And it said, Paris Hilton infamously guest starred in an early season, one episode as Logan's rich girlfriend, and had an odd demand on set. Rob's assistant, Alex, had to buy Paris Hilton's Chihuahua French fries because the Chihuahua ate McDonald's French fries. So.
But she ate McDonald's French fries?
Yes. So Paris Hilton asked them to go get French fries from McDonald's for Tinkerbell, her Chihuahua.
Is that even good for your dog?
I would say no, but I'm not here to judge. That's not what this is about. But. Since you asked, no, I don't think that that's healthy for your dog. I mean, dogs shouldn't really eat, like, salty things and or greasy, fatty things. And we all know that the oil that they fry French fries in is, like, good for nobody. So, no, it's not a healthy thing, but to each their own. And Tinkerbell lived to be 14 years old, so that's pretty good.
Okay. So maybe, actually, McDonald's French fries are great for dogs.
Maybe they preserved her. I don't know.
Maybe from the inside out.
I thought that was interesting that was her ask on set.
That's also surprising that, you know, given someone with basically endless means, that you would choose McDonald's French fries for your dog.
Well, you know, I've realized that, you know, even no matter how much money you have, people who are rich still love, like, fast food or, like, Doritos. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, like, we all have things that are, like, our, I don't know, childhood favorites or, like, you know, we saw, hey, in this episode this week, we saw Duncan and his dad, what's his name? Jake Kane. Jake and Duncan Kane go to a taco truck, which I approve of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, but that's different. Yeah. I never really got into fast food, so it's something that doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
But that's fair that other people do like it, of course, which is why there are so many of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really into fast food either, but I do like In-N-Out, like every self-respecting Californian. Because we have to.
That's true. In-N-Out is not bad.
Even if it's like, even if we don't love it, we just like have to and be obsessed with it.
Mm.
And then I've gone through multiple phases of Taco Bell addiction in my life.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. There was a lot of Taco Bell in our childhood.
Yeah. In high school, we like lived at Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one dog fact. And then the other one is about backup, as you mentioned. So what I found, this was actually on, I was just sitting around one day and I was just dreaming of backup. I was just thinking of backup and I was like, who's the real backup? Where? You know, I've only seen him fleetingly on screen. Where's the real backup? Anyway, so I think I searched about it and I read the dog who portrayed backup changed after a few episodes.
Oh.
Initially played by the white and brown American Bulldog Gordo, he was replaced with peachy cream colored pit bull named Lefty.
Oh.
And that comes from the veronicamars.fandom.com/wiki/backup.
Oh.
So, and then... I was curious to know, like, what became of Gordo or Lefty. I want to know more about them. Are they still alive? Probably not.
Yeah, that was
sadly. But you never know.
It's 15 years ago.
Wait. Okay, so they're probably not.
May they rest in peace.
Very unlikely, unfortunately. Yeah. But I found on a different website, which was veronicamarsconfessions.tumblr.com.
Oh.
It said, so you know it's legit. It says, Rob Thomas fired the trainer of the first backup. Apparently there was some issues regarding the obedience and the salary. The dog named Gordo wouldn't obey the instruction, so he recast the new backup named Lefty.
Oh.
So, there you go.
Did you notice that there were different dogs?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I mean, we've seen so little of backup.
Yeah.
I feel like I actually saw more of, so in season 4, there's a different dog, mm-hmm. Pony.
Ah.
And I think I actually noticed Pony more because maybe Pony got more screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe because now I'm a dog person, so I'm, like, really interested in the dogs.
I do think that later, probably in season 4, that the backup gets more screen time than...
Yeah.
Than in...
yeah.
But it's still backup, right, in season 4?
No, it's Pony.
Oh, like it's not even backup?
It's a new dog. Correct, yeah, backup's gone.
Like they got a new dog?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes without saying that backup is dead now, but they don't actually say that.
Mm-hmm. I guess that, okay, right. So I guess this is fast forward.
I mean.
Like 15 years in the future, or 10 years or something in the future.
At least. I think it's probably, okay. I would say it's probably like 15 years. I don't know. When we get to season 4, we can like figure that out, but.
Right. How much time has actually passed? Okay. Well, I do feel like later seasons, we haven't had very much backup screen time yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think there's more later.
That's good. I look forward to it.
I think, if I recall.
Okay. We'll find out. So those are my dog facts. Dog facts with Karen.
Nice.
Now we need to get on to the very important business of the food and drinks we had while watching this episode.
Oh, yes.
So Katie, what did you have this time? Let me guess. Plain water and just nutritional yeast sprinkled into your mouth.
So actually, this was by far the most disappointing.
Oh no!
Eating and drinking episode so far. In that, so I watched this after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically didn't eat anything, except at one point, maybe 10 minutes from the end, I decided that I wanted to eat a few tortilla chips.
Okay.
So a few tortilla chips, and at some point in the evening, I had tea, but I don't think I had made it yet when I was watching this. So. I don't even think I had water. I think I just had a few tortilla chips.
Well, what kind of tortilla chips?
And I'm sorry to let you down.
That's all right. What kind of tortilla chips were they?
I'm trying to remember the brand. They were store-bought, not homemade.
Duh. I mean, who's making their own tortilla chips?
I make them sometimes.
Ooh.
But it's hard to make them in a large quantity. Because it just takes a really long time. But I do try to make my own tortilla chips because I can bake them that way. And then I can make them the like slightly soft texture that I really like that apparently no one else likes because nobody packages them that way.
Yeah.
But like, you know, the same kind of texture you get when you like get tortilla chips and put them in the fridge and then they're stale the next day.
Oh my gosh.
That's my favorite texture of a tortilla
chip. Oh my gosh.
But also if you just undercook them a little bit, you can get the same texture.
Yeah, I can't say I relate to that at all.
Most people can't. So what did you eat?
Well, hang on. We're not done talking about tortilla chips. So I have to say that liking tortilla chips that are stale or that have been in the fridge, I can't say I relate to this at all. I find it strange.
Yeah, I have yet to meet anyone else who does like them that way. And I don't know why, but I just really like stale tortilla chips.
Well, there you go.
I also like my soda a little bit flat. Mm. I barely drink any soda, but it's better if it's a little bit flat. It's just too bubbly to start with.
I don't relate to that either.
Yeah, nobody. I've never met anyone else who likes flat soda and stale tortilla chips.
I will say, though, one thing that I love is when you get those, like, nasty but amazing nachos that just have, like, the cheese sauce on them, you know, and then like they sit and then the tortilla chip gets like kind of soggy and then like especially if half the tortilla chip's soggy and half of it's like still crunchy, I do love that. So I am excited to share that I did eat something really tasty while watching this episode, and you're gonna be jealous. It was a mug brownie.
Ooh, I love those. Although I haven't made a brownie. I've only made the cakes.
Yeah. I've only made mug pizza.
Oh, right.
And mug brownies. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where they've been all my life. They're so good.
They are.
And I have a special twist on the brownie.
Okay.
I've got a secret ingredient that just takes it to the next level. Okay, so you make the mug brownie. I use the one, basically just Google mug brownie recipe, and it's like the first one that comes up. It's just what I use. Whatever.
Okay.
It calls for chocolate chips. I don't have those, because if I had them, I would eat them. So, like,
mm-hmm. I have that problem.
I'm probably not just going to have chocolate chips sitting in the house mm-hmm. at any time, unless I buy them specifically for the recipe. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing with the mug brownie is that you make it, like, on the fly.
Right.
You're like, oh, man, something sweet sounds really good right now. Let's make a mug brownie. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I stir up the batter, like instructed, and then take some peanut butter and drop, like, a few little chunks of peanut butter, like, about three or so, like, in the batter, like, in different locations, and then just cook it like that. And then you got, like, peanut butter brownies.
That sounds so good.
All right. Well, let's jump into the episode now that we've discussed all the important things.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of this episode?
So generally, I thought this was a strong character building episode, maybe more so than storyline. In other words, some progress towards the Lily's murder storyline.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see a lot more of Logan's character development.
Yeah.
So Logan got some more time in his relationship with his dad, and then we also saw a little bit of an almost friendship dynamic
mm-hmm.
Between Veronica and Wanda,
mm-hmm.
which I found a little weird, but I think it also, you know, speaks to Veronica's trust issues.
What did you think was weird about it?
So she's helping Wanda. Wanda seems fine. We generally like Wanda.
Sure.
You know, although she's a little bit of a loose cannon, but whatever, we think we generally like her and Veronica generally likes her.
Mm-hmm.
And then it felt like, unless there was something I missed, but then Veronica is just like, hey, let's see if she would throw me under the bus given the chance. And then makes up this thing about ecstasy and just to see if Wanda would turn her in. And then Wanda does turn her in. But it just seems like an odd, contrived friendship test. And I didn't think that there was any real catalyst to it. Unless yeah. I missed that.
You might have missed something small, which is that... Okay. So I also had to... I had to take to the Google again. Should we table this until we get to that plot point?
We can talk about it when we get there.
Okay.
I think I did miss that, but I think it's still an interesting topic. But yeah, we can come back to it.
Yeah. Maybe let's go through the episode and we will get there. So
yeah.
I guess starting at the beginning, we have the beginning scene where Wallace and Veronica are chilling, eating lunch. By the way, in this scene, we found out Wallace's dad is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's new information, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we weren't sure what his... I don't think we've met his mom yet.
I don't think so.
I don't think we've known very much about his family situation.
Yeah. Yet. Then we see the whole situation where apparently if you've got pirate points, you can have mm-hmm. lunch delivered. Which, mm-hmm. this just blows my mind. This is a whole level of, I don't know if it's a rich kid thing. Pretty much, yes.
Mm. Having lunch delivered?
Yeah. This just blows my mind. This is just not the high school I know.
Well, certainly in our town, this just would not have been an option unless you ordered a pizza.
True.
But there just wasn't other food available to be delivered.
I don't even think we had Chinese food delivery.
I don't think so. I mean, we barely had Chinese food.
Yeah, we barely had Chinese food.
We had like two Chinese restaurants. And no, they didn't deliver.
And then also, that's expensive.
Yeah. Having food delivered?
Yeah. I mean, just ordering takeout, period, for a high school student. Because, like, I feel like when we were in school, it's like our lunches would have cost, I mean, honestly, probably under $5.
Yeah, but I think... ordering a pizza maybe wouldn't be, because you'd have a few people eat it. And mm-hmm. I remember when we were in high school-ish, you'd order a pizza and it would be like $20 with a tip.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. potentially feed, you know, two or three people.
I guess it's not that crazy. It just is something that, like, definitely never happened in our lives. Like, I don't even think that would have been allowed. Which, right. Apparently at Neptune High, it's only allowed if you have the pirate points. But
also, it seems like the timing would be hard because, yeah. you know, the timing's really tight on lunch.
Yeah.
So if your delivery is late or early, then you're screwed.
Yeah, didn't we get like 25 minutes for lunch or something crazy like that?
It was really short. It might have been like 30, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like we... It's not like we got an hour for lunch or anything like that.
Right.
So... I don't know. That just kind of blew my mind. But, you know, so then Madison Sinclair, who we meet in this episode, who obviously we hate immediately.
Yeah.
You know, she just comes on the screen and you're like, okay, we hate this bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So Wanda had, who's also a new character we just met.
Mm-hmm.
Wanda ordered lunch. Then Madison goes and tells on her. Mm-hmm. And then Principal Clemens tells her, like, you can't order your luncheon, and then Wanda steps on Madison's pizzas, mm-hmm. which is savage.
Yeah. She's wearing cool boots when she does it, too.
Yeah.
She's got, like, some big Doc Martens or something on.
Yeah, totally. So that's rough. And then, you know, of course, there's the election, and then Wanda's running, and she says that she'll abolish the Pirate Points system. And then Duncan's dad wants him to run, although he doesn't want to.
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah, we see them having a discussion about, you know, his future and how running for president is important mm-hmm. for it. I guess we've seen them talk about Duncan's future before, of, you know, the scene where his dad is talking to him about internships and then he just turns up his iPod and keeps chilling in the pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did see that in a previous episode. So then... Even though Duncan doesn't want to run, his, like, I don't know, his dad puts his name in or something. And then
mm-hmm.
Logan's father, who we will need to talk about soon. Mm-hmm. So Logan's dad, who's a famous actor, Aaron Eccles, like, narrates the Duncan campaign video.
Mm-hmm. Which Duncan seems to not really know about.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of sprung on him and he's like, what?
Yeah.
But then Duncan ends up winning.
Right. Which does speak to Veronica's point that she makes later in the episode about how he sits idly by. He even sits idly by while other people elect him president when he doesn't want to be.
You're right. That's a good point. I'm trying to remember what was Veronica getting mad at him about when she said, you sit idly by?
I actually don't even remember now.
Was it about the election tomfoolery?
It might have been about the fraud. Yeah, that he just stayed out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's saying, because he's like, you know, she's not accusing him of rigging the election,
mm-hmm.
but she's accusing him of not doing anything, but possibly knowing that the election is rigged.
Right.
So they uncover the tomfoolery,
mm-hmm.
and then they have an honest election, and then Duncan does win again. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Whatevs. So the whole, narc turning Veronica in friendship situation, as I understand it and as Reddit helped informed me, so obviously we saw that scene where all the posters have been painted with narc,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, is not a word. It's like a word that I've heard, but I didn't really know what it meant.
It's also a word that was not, I guess it was present in as a teenager, and then it seemed to fall away for a little bit, and then now it's, you know, you hear it in like crime shows and stuff. So I feel like it's as a kid it was a term for someone who tattles on other people, and now it becomes someone who turns you in for doing drugs.
Right.
Or for selling drugs, more likely. So it's funny that the meaning has changed.
Yeah, exactly. So I always just thought of it as like a tattletale.
Right.
I didn't realize that it means specifically like working undercover with law enforcement to turn in people who are breaking the law.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So then essentially, so, you know, people vandalize her stuff and call her a narc. And then
right.
apparently Veronica's just like, oh, they're, you know, don't listen to them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when Veronica's passing out flyers to Weevil, he says basically that Felix and Wanda slept together,
mm-hmm.
and it was at Felix's house. And then afterward, the cops busted him for, I thought he said vandalizing street signs, but
oh,
maybe it was selling drugs.
Yeah, I wonder.
I'm a little unclear on that.
Yeah, I didn't catch that detail.
You know what we're going to do? So I'm going to find the episode, and I'm actually going to find that scene so that we can set the record straight here for once and for all. Cause
yeah. Yeah.
Because I need to know.
I mean, so it sounds like, you know, it turns out that she is actually an informant.
Yeah.
I feel like from Veronica's position, how bad can you fault someone for being an informant?
Yeah. So I have a lot of thoughts on this. Let's get there.
Okay.
First, let me find this scene. Okay, so what he said, somehow after they hooked up at his house, the sheriff found out that he had all the missing Welcome to Neptune signs in his bedroom.
So it was for not a drug-related thing.
Correct. So she, you know, told the sheriff that he had stolen Welcome to Neptune signs in his bedroom. Yeah. And then now he has community service.
So I have a story about a stolen sign.
Oh, tell me.
Tell
us.
So
did you steal it?
I did not steal it, but
okay, go ahead.
So there was a particular sign in my college town in California that had the distance to the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, 2,000 and some miles, and I growing up had heard a bunch of stories about how it kept getting stolen. So eventually they moved that sign, they condensed it to be with a bunch of other not interesting things so that people would be less likely to steal it. So that there wasn't just this like one notable sign, and then people stopped stealing it because it was, I think, bigger and harder to steal and also not as interesting. And then I subleased a room from some people I didn't know very well mm-hmm. for just a few months one summer. And when I walk in, I discovered that they have one of the stolen signs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So that solved one of the mysteries of where it went.
I feel like sign stealing is, you know, it's kind of a wholesome crime, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. It's kind of it's kind of quaint.
Right. It depends on the sign, probably.
I mean, it's not, you know, obviously.
Some are more important than others.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not like, you know, it's not great. You're not supposed to do it. Right. But like, you know, it's kind of, you know, you understand it.
I didn't turn them in. I also would have had no way to know who actually stole it because it was the kind of place where people live briefly and then people that they know move in and then and so on and so forth. And that these were people who were largely removed from my friend group anyway. So I wouldn't have even known who to turn in. But yeah, it doesn't seem like a serious crime.
I also would not blame you for not turning somebody in. I mean, I would personally not turn somebody in for stealing street signs. I mean, obviously depending on...
Because I'm not a narc.
Depending on the situation. You know, it would depend on the situation, but like, I can't really see a situation where I'd be like, oh no, the cops must be informed about this.
I also can't see that unless it was an important sign and someone kept doing it. It's like if someone kept stealing the same stop sign or something, then maybe I would tell the cops.
Yeah, sure. I can see that.
You know, like in a way that felt dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's...
And that they were being unreasonable.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, obviously, if you're taking signs that are really important and then it's causing, like, danger or, you know, even kind of taking exit signs because then people can't find their exit. But, like, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like in general, it, you know, it's not, like, a crime that I really can look down on too hard.
Right. The situations in which I could imagine acting upon it are pretty extreme.
Yeah. So, so yeah, then Veronica figures out, oh, is she really a narc? Is this true? And then she says, like, hey, Wanda, let's go to a rave with a capital E.
In the desert.
In the desert.
And I think this was before raves in the desert were cool.
Really?
Well, maybe not.
I got no idea. Never been to one.
I mean, I feel like all the, well, maybe not rapes, but like, didn't all the music festivals in the desert start in, well, I don't know, how long have those been going on?
I feel like it's more recent, like Coachella and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's Burning Man. Burning Man goes back to, like, I think the 80s or 90s. Although, yeah. Of course, it's like totally different than it ever was. You couldn't pay me right. enough to go to a rave in the desert, B, Burning Man, Coachella. I'd be the most likely to go to of those three things, but I still have zero desire to ever do that. But Burning Man sounds like my idea of hell. And a rave in the desert is not something I would ever do.
Yeah, I feel like there was a point in my life when I was interested in going to Burning Man. And I think that was before I really... First off, before I had spent very much time in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know how unpleasant that really would probably be.
I know alcohol is not the primary activity that happens out there. But can you imagine being hungover in a tent in the desert? Can you just imagine how unpleasant that would be?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then to be surrounded. Yeah, it no
longer sounds appealing at all.
To be surrounded by naked people making art.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not something that appeals to me anymore.
No. No.
And probably never really did. I think I just didn't really understand what it was actually like.
No shade, by the way. People, you do you.
Of course.
Much respect.
I admire people that I think it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And of course some really cool things come out of it, so.
You mean schlepping all that water to the desert? 'Cause yes.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, I think you have to basically figure out how to survive for however long you're there. I don't even know how long it runs for. Which is pretty admirable. And true. You know, I think you're supposed to like show off something cool while you're there, so you have to make something cool beforehand.
I mean, that's cool. I like the arts and crafts, you know?
I'm glad other people do it.
Yeah, I totally respect it, to each their own, but you won't see me there. Have fun.
Yeah, or Veronica, or Wanda.
No, probably. It's also not Veronica's scene. Wanda probably would go there so that she can narc on people.
Yeah, apparently. But also, well, anyway, even if it was a real lead, she would have missed her opportunity to go because she would have narked on Veronica.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So then the next day, Veronica has her locker searched, and she's like, yep, knew it. Wanda told people that I had drugs or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they were going to a rave using provisions with a capital E.
Oh, that's what she said. Provisions with a capital E. There's no E in provisions, Veronica. Anyway, so yeah, Veronica concludes that Wanda's a narc, and then she, like, kind of confronts her, right? What does she say exactly when she confronts her?
I don't know, but she tells her that she didn't vote for her.
Yeah.
Which is a sick burn. But Wanda says that she got busted for possession last year or something, and that it's the only, that being an informant was the only way that, well, presumably being an informant, she says this is the only way they would let it come off my record. And previously she had talked about the schools that she wanted to go to.
Yeah, she wants to go to Williams.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say, maybe I'm missing something. I don't think this is that bad.
I don't either.
I think it's fine. I'm fine with it. I'm kind of surprised Veronica seems so against it. I mean, you could say that Veronica could be upset because Wanda didn't tell her, but that doesn't really make any sense because they're not that close of friends.
Yeah.
Maybe she feels like, oh, I thought Wanda and I were good enough friends that she wouldn't narc on me.
Yeah.
But you also aren't actually... I don't know what I'm trying to say, but...
Right.
This is another kind of situation where I definitely don't think that... I guess what's bad about it is that she's being duplicitous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing.
But she's working with the cops against illegal activity. Right. So I just don't know how we can be that upset about it.
Right. Well, first off, it feels like a bold stance to feel like your friend needs to be okay with your drug use.
Right.
Like, in general, that feels like, I mean, if those are the only kind of friends you want to have, then I guess that's a decision you're making. But it isn't a decision I would make, I don't think.
Well, and Veronica doesn't do drugs anyway.
Right. I mean, I guess the only thing is that maybe, like, a good friend, I mean, maybe you would want them to warn you and say, like, hey, if you tell me about this, I have to turn you in. But even, I mean, they're not good friends. Like, it sounds like they haven't hung out. Veronica says that she knows her from the pep school days, and then she says, hey, let's hang out again like the old times, and I'll help you make posters. So it's not like they've been hanging out. They're not good friends. So, yeah, this feels It just feels like Veronica gave her this weird friend test for no real reason.
Exactly. I mean, the episode sets it up like, oh, we love her in the beginning because she's against the, you know, the Pirate Points and the 09ers who we hate. Maybe you could hold it against her that she was busted for drugs and she's not, you know, accepting the full consequences of that, which would be like having it on her record. Mm-hmm. But like, don't you think it's smart of her to work with the police to keep that off of her record and look out for her future?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think we're on the same page here that Wanda has done nothing wrong. And honestly, it kind of sucks for her that she's in this position now. Yeah. Because she either has to rat on people or she has a drug charge on her record, which, you know, admittedly, I'm sure was her fault. But still, it sucks.
Yeah. Well, and Veronica investigates people for doing illegal or immoral things.
She doesn't like it when it's done back to her.
So it built up, you know, the untrusting part mm-hmm. of Veronica, but it really didn't seem like a fair mm-hmm. thing to do.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. Not a great storyline. Didn't pull off what they probably wanted to accomplish.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really sure how they picked this one, but whatever.
I think they should have made Wanda worse. They should have made her be doing something a lot worse than she actually was.
Right, something we would actually oppose.
Yeah, something we'd be like, Wanda, God damn it, why'd you do that? Instead of just like, oh no, Veronica got her locker searched. Oh no. Like, who cares? Obviously, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there was that storyline.
So, beyond the election.
Oh, but one more thing about the election. So then Duncan won at the end, and he, instead of abolishing the Pirate Point system, so he kept the Pirate Points, but he said he wanted to have it changed so that you could get Pirate Points for doing other activities other than just being like in sports, which seemed like, you know, so you could get it now for being like in band or in art or in theater or like whatever. So it makes it like less elitist and a lot more accessible for everybody. So, which I think is cool.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He is a fair and just leader so far.
Yeah. So good job, Duncan. Great job.
Yeah. A reluctant leader, but fair.
And yeah, there we go. So one kind of funny nuance I thought was that, so Veronica's voting for Duncan because presumably she's like pro Duncan on some level. I mean, I think at this point we know that she still definitely likes Duncan still as a person, if not still as possibly even romantically interested in him still. But yet she's voting for him and he doesn't actually want to be class president. So that's kind of funny. And she's almost like not doing him a favor by voting for him since he says he doesn't want it. But maybe she feels like even though he doesn't want it, he would be the best president. Or maybe she feels like...
better than that narc Wanda.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Tell us about the other stuff going on in this episode.
So the other storyline is Logan and his bum fights. Are we allowed to call it that?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think this was clearly inspired by bum fights.
Are we allowed to call them bums anymore?
Well, here's the thing. Do you know what bum fights is?
So it was a website or something, right?
It was. I had to look it up because I couldn't really remember. But it was a.
Okay. I remember it being in the spotlight.
Yes.
Being in the news.
It was a apparently a quote viral DVD, which I didn't know a DVD could be viral, but that's how it went back in the day.
I mean, Girls Gone Wild, that was a viral DVD, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you could call Girls Gone Wild viral because that was actually like produced and set out there for sale, which I guess Bum Fights was too.
Okay, you're right.
But like Bum Fights is more underground.
Well, it must have been if it was a DVD.
Yeah. So I looked it up because I couldn't remember exactly what had happened, but this storyline clearly felt to me like it was directly inspired by the real life bum fights situation. So I think we can call it bum fights because that's what this DVD was called. So we're not necessarily calling the people involved bums. We're just saying that that's what like this whole thing was called back then. But so apparently there was this kid who was like 19 or something and he was an aspiring filmmaker living in San Diego. And then he came across a couple of homeless men who apparently were also alcoholics, and they would just kind of get into random scrapes or do silly things or like fight each other. And so he wasn't actually organizing like a ring of people fighting. He wasn't like making his own fight club for entertainment, but I think there was an element of that, but basically he was like paying these people to do things that were potentially dangerous. And, you know, it was very exploitative because, you know, he'd pay them like $10 to have them do something that's potentially life threatening or whatever, you know? So, and then his defense was like, oh, they all consented. So, you know, so basically he released like all these DVDs of, there was like six of them or something like that. And then they were, you know, banned in some places. And I don't think any legal action was actually, I don't know. I'm a little unclear on the whole story. Cause yeah. I don't think he,
it was definitely condemned.
Yes. I don't think he technically did anything legally wrong because he did have consent from everybody involved, but you know, it was real messed up and people hated it and like outlawed it and it wasn't cool.
Yeah, it would probably be up to someone to bring a civil suit against him, I'm guessing. Just what I know.
Yeah.
If he didn't do anything illegal.
Yeah.
Which probably the people involved were not really in a position to do.
Yes. So
So this was a dark moment in in media.
Yes. Bone fights. Yes, it was.
So we see Logan doing basically the same thing. I mean, well, it's just, I guess it's not basically the same thing because he's not actually making videos around it.
True.
He is soliciting people to, specifically we see him solicit this guy who comes up and washes his windshield at the gas station to participate in his weekly fight, and that guy blows him off and says, no, of course I'm not going to do that. But we learned that it exists that way. And then we see one of the fights happening. And then it turns out, so this was also before, you know, video was everywhere.
Yeah.
But so this would have been a time when you maybe would have reasonably expected to not have video taken. but of course someone takes a video of it and posts it online.
Yeah.
Which is a problem because his dad is famous.
Yeah. When he went to the Smoking Gun, I think it was the Smoking Gun's website. That website cracked me up. It looked so old school. It was so funny. The video, like it just looked so old. But yeah, so, you know, the headline is like, Air Knuckles' son is organizing these fights or whatever. By the way, another reason I thought this was directly inspired by bum fights probably is because Logan asked him, oh, are you ex-army? And he said, like, no way, I'm from the Marine Corps, whatever. And apparently the main people featured in the original bum fights videos were both from some branch of the military. I don't remember exactly which one. Oh. So they were, like, both ex-military members.
Which is especially sad, given what we now pretty broadly know about, you know, veterans and PTSD and lack of support.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever comes their way after they're discharged. So, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So, yeah, it's pretty messed up. I didn't realize that this was an ongoing thing. I thought it was like a brand new thing he was trying. But you're right. It seems like he presents it as something that's already been going on for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know for how long. Like, maybe it's a relatively new thing. But, I mean, he has other takers and he, what's that guy's name? Ryan Hansen.
Dick Casablancas.
Yeah, Dick is there. And Dick's involved too, we can tell. So I guess it sounded like something that he had not just done once, but maybe was, I mean, we haven't heard about it before, so hopefully not, was not a, like, long-term thing he was doing.
Yeah, makes sense. Clearly in this situation, it's very exploitative of people who really need money and will do anything to get money since they don't have anything and, you know, they're harming themselves and whatever. So it's not cool.
Right.
So then his dad finds out about it. Now we need to talk about Logan's parents because we see them for the very first time this episode. Katie, do you know? So his parents, so Aaron Eccles is played by Harry Hamlin And his mother, Lynn Eccles, is played by Lisa Rinna. You probably don't know who they are.
Nope.
So Lisa Rinna is actually one of the Real Housewives of, I think, Beverly Hills.
Oh, wait. But she's also an actress.
Yes, yes. So she's okay. An actress. He's an actor. They've been in many things over the years. But currently, in present day, Lisa Rinna is on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I guess. I don't know. I don't actually watch the series, but for some reason I know what goes on those shows. I don't know why. And then Harry Hamlin does not appear on the show, I don't think, but she talks about him all the time. So it's just kind of funny and kind of cool. And they're a real life married couple, obviously. And they were married at the time that they were on Veronica Mars. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know this.
Anyway, so Aaron is a really interesting character. I feel like, now, obviously, he's a terrible human being, right? Right. I mean.
And we see that in, well, I guess I can't remember what else we've seen him do that's terrible, but we do see him beat Logan with a belt.
Yeah.
And see him be kind of a general jerk.
Yeah, I mean, the beating with the belt is the big thing.
Right.
He also, like, shoves Logan in that one fight earlier, which is not great. Right. Mm-hmm. And then he also, you know, when they go to the soup kitchen, he's definitely, like, mostly concerned with just image.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You know, he's not going to the soup kitchen to give back. He's doing it to make him and Logan look good. So I think in that sense, we kind of see that he's, like, maybe not the best
person.
So, yeah, but that beating scene was, like, so creepy.
Yeah, it was really sad.
It's also creepy because, like, Logan is obviously, you know, he's going and picking out the belt and going into the room and handing it to his father and taking off his shirt. Which, of course, when you're being abused, that's how abuse works, is that you're kind of trained to be almost, like, complicit in it, you know? Like, I'm not saying at all, like, oh, Logan should have run away. He could have got, you know, he could have fought back. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's, like, so, it just shows how, like, broken he obviously is. That he's, like, it's time to get my beating. Here you go. You know?
Yeah. I also, I mean, I don't know anyone personally who has told me that this has happened to them. But I have heard it as a thing of choosing the belt. So.
I don't even have any belts. So
no, I don't know. Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess some people have a lot of belts. But clearly Aaron Eccles does.
Oh, my God, he has so many belts. I'm like, what? They all look the same. What do you even do?
Yeah, don't you just need, like, a black one and a brown one?
Right?
Do you really need, like,
maybe a thin one and a thick one?
Yeah, maybe, like, five, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. He's got, like, 20.
But it's really disturbing. It's really messed up.
It was. Yeah, it was a hard scene to watch. And we also see his mom...
Yeah.
You know, who can hear it happening and is taking a long sip of her drink to cope.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you don't quite know, is she complicit in this? Is she like, yes, he deserves it, it needs to be done, but I don't enjoy this happening, but like, it is what it is? Or is she like also being abused and is like actually, you know.
Yeah.
Like really hurting seeing this whole scene. We don't really know the relationship there, but yeah, it's really messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, feel like I went on an emotional roller coaster with Logan in this episode because the part where he's recruiting people to be in his fights, I'm like, you're the worst.
Yeah.
And then at the end when he's being beaten, I'm kind of like, ugh, my heart hurts for him a bit, you know. And then you kind of love the part where he says at the soup kitchen that his dad's giving $500,000 as a donation. Like,
right.
It's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think that's the arc that we're getting with Logan is that we're seeing him be a jerk, and then we slowly see how his experience is impacting his actions.
Yeah.
Potentially, that he comes from an abusive home and that, you know, might have learned some different things about violence that could be impacting how he sees his, what does he call it, an amateur boxing night, you know, could impact how he sees that, which of course doesn't condone it or excuse it or anything, but that it informs his life a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, because we know that when people are abused, they often, that really impacts them, and sometimes in ways that turn them into an abuser. later. Mm-hmm. And there's a very fine line between, like, excusing things because they've been abused and, you know,
right,
holding them responsible for choices they've made. I mean, it's, I don't know. That's a big topic, yeah, that I'm definitely not qualified to opine on.
Right. Nor I.
But it does give you a little sympathy for, I mean, it gives you a lot of sympathy. It's almost like the show ratcheted Logan up to be almost as bad as you could get. I mean, look, he's not a murderer. He's not mm-hmm. a, like, you know, but as Veronica calls him, a psychotic jackass.
Yeah.
Like, they really show us that. They really build him up to be like, ugh, I hate this guy.
Yeah.
And then they basically do something that's, like, possibly the only thing that could make you go, like, oh my gosh, now I feel bad for him.
Right.
Like, now I've sympathized with this character.
Right.
I feel like I've been on 5 emotional roller coasters, and we're only on episode 6.
I know. Yeah. Really?
6 emotional roller coasters.
Really diving into these is different than just kind of casually watching them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This show's intense.
It is. More intense than I think I'd given it credit for.
I've been thinking about how, you know, back in the day, these seasons were so long. Isn't this season something like 22 episodes? I haven't actually looked, but I feel like 22 episodes used to be standard.
Yeah, for a season it's TV. Around there. Yeah.
And these days, it's more 10 episodes,
I know.
13, 14 episodes.
Yeah.
Even the last season of Game of Thrones, wasn't it like 6 or 8 episodes, something like that?
Something like that, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like it limits you in how deep you can go into all the nuances. That's when you true. Have a shorter season, I guess.
Yeah, this one also, yeah, it has a lot going on at once. Yeah. So, speaking of a lot going on at once, so we also get some progress around Lily's murder, and specifically around Abel Kuntz.
Yeah, he's sentenced to be, he's set to be put to death, like, in a few months?
Yeah.
Did they say early next year?
I don't remember exactly, but it's soon.
Yeah, soon.
And he fires his public defense.
Which I don't want to be, I don't want to be this person, but I follow a ton of true crime.
Okay.
And in California, it takes an extremely long time to put somebody to death.
Yeah.
Like, in fact, I don't think California has even done it in like 15 or 20 years.
Uh-huh.
People basically just sit on death row these right. days. You know, for example, Scott Peterson, who was sentenced to death in, like, what, 2003 or something mm-hmm. like that, like, is still on death row. You know, it's, and I'm sure there are people. Anyway, so part of me was like, okay, they wouldn't actually, I mean, Lily died, what, like, a year ago?
Yeah.
Like, this, it's very unrealistic that he would be getting put to death this quickly. But right. whatever, yeah, totally. Look, it's neither here nor there. It's necessary for the show. Cause yeah. if he wasn't being put to death, there would be a lot less urgency to figure out if he really did it.
Right.
Well, arguably, once somebody's convicted, people just consider the case closed. But then if the person's also put to death, it's like, well, there you go.
Right. All their information also dies with them. I mean, whatever they haven't told people.
Yeah, for sure. So that's interesting. And then Veronica notices, she finds a picture in her father's mm-hmm. safe, which she's been breaking into. Mm-hmm. That has a picture of Lily's shoes in her bedroom. And, of course, it has mm-hmm. a little heart with Duncan on it because Veronica drew that on there.
Right. Which is weird.
But, like, you know, it's funny.
But whatever.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Lily says, she's like, that's creepy.
Yeah. So, I guess it's her brother.
Yeah.
So, you know. I mean, I guess it's okay to have your brother's name on your shoe.
But anyway, in a heart, it's a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It is weird, for sure.
It's funny. Whatever.
Yeah.
You let your friends draw on your shoes, you get what you get.
That's true.
So then these same shoes were then uncovered. They were found on Abel Kuntz's houseboat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
So Veronica's yeah. like, wait, how could they have been on its houseboat if they were in Lily's bedroom while she was being murdered? So right. that's suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And then Veronica also says that the traffic ticket showed that her time of death is later than was originally believed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what impact that has yet, but that was just a fact I noticed. I'm not sure if that was said when she originally got the traffic ticket.
Right.
Maybe it was already stated. I don't know.
I think she mentioned it in an earlier episode, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, there's a little progress there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
what's going on?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, also Jane Lynch was in this episode.
I had forgotten that she makes an appearance and was so excited to see her.
Where do you know her from? Did you watch Glee?
I know her from Glee, yeah.
I never watched Glee, but I've seen her. I know she's very well known for that show, and I've seen her in like a bunch of random movies and things like that.
Yeah, she is certainly a favorite character from Glee. She's just great. Her character is a jerk, but she is just fantastic in that role.
Mm-hmm. And she kind of plays, well, would you say that her character in this episode was similar to that character?
Yeah, I was actually thinking that this was like a warm-up for that.
Yeah, for her Glee character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she was definitely like a jerk. It was unclear to me whether she was actually in on the fraud or if she just was resistant to it being exposed.
Right.
Because it basically comes down to Madison Sinclair having been the person to actually scan the incorrect directions or make copies of it.
Yeah. And did her character have ties to the, like, cheerleaders or anything?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay. Because I think that would have been the only way that necessarily made sense, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that we're supposed to see her as evil. I think we're just supposed to see her as dismissive of student concerns. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and she was also really dismissive to that other teacher.
Right, yeah.
And she was straight up threatening to her. She was like, I'm giving you this chance to change your mind for your own good.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, that was really threatening.
Right.
What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. So her Glee character is just much more over the top and silly, but also similarly mean is her signature. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I see that. I also wanted to mention that we officially have a public Spotify playlist, which is currently called the Neptune Files.
Nice.
Maybe I'll rename it to be something like more like songs discussed on the Neptune Files. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can add a description somewhere so that people can find it more easily. Mm. Whatever. That's what's going on right now. Like we said before, it only has like 5 songs on it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we haven't made a lot of progress. The only song that really stood out to me in this episode was the song playing when Logan was picking out the belt and getting beaten.
What song was that?
And it's called Ventura Highway by the band America.
Oh, I don't know it.
And it just kind of stood out to me because it obviously has like an older sound. I think it's from the 70s. It has like an older feel.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Interesting choice with like that scene. I don't know. I can't really articulate it any more intelligently than that.
Hmm. Well.
All right.
I'm interested to see what happens next.
Yes, as always. Thank you all for listening to episode 6, and we'll be seeing you in episode 7.
All right.
Bye.
Later.